Thank you for joining us today. At Cross Church, we believe people need Jesus, people need each other, people change the world, and people leave legacies. Our desire is for you to understand, accept, and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about Cross Church, please visit crosschurch.com.
Hey, let's grab our Bibles. Daniel chapter 6 is where we're going to be today. Really glad you are here. And if you're brand new, we've been walking through the book of Daniel for about the last 8 weeks. We will finish this series next Sunday on Palm Sunday, and really looking forward to that. By the way, Good Friday service on Good Friday before Easter is always an incredible time. We're going to take communion. We're going to read through the whole Word of God in one sitting in about 5 minutes. It'd be an incredible thing and really a powerful service. But we've been walking through this book of Daniel and really walking through his life. Honestly, we're skimming the surface by spending 10 weeks in the book of Daniel. You may say, how in the world is that? There is so much more that we could talk about. We could spend another probably 8 weeks in the book of Daniel, but we will end this next Sunday. And so I hope you'll make plans to be back for that. We've been talking about what do you do when life closes in on you, when it feels like the very life is being squeezed out of you. And we've encouraged you to make 10 commitments along the way. And we'll give you another commitment here in just a moment. In Daniel chapter 5, we experienced some major transitions in leadership. For whatever reason, King Nebuchadnezzar is no longer the king. We're not told why. Perhaps he died. You see his grandson, Belshazzar, who has a quick, as far as Bible chapters, reign as the king. He is the king in Daniel chapter 5. By the end of Daniel chapter 5, he's dead. So it's a quick, you know, just a snap of a finger kind of life right there. And today we learn about a new king that, again, Daniel is serving under all of these various kings. And we come across a guy by the name of King Darius. King Darius, at best, is just a weak leader who will not stand up for what he believes in. That's at best, okay? At worst, he's a wicked king, much like Nebuchadnezzar was in the beginning of the story, as well as his grandson, Belshazzar, all right? So, honestly, I think he may just be a weak leader who will not stand. You'll see that. That'll make sense as we move on in the story. But here's the commitment we're asking you to make today on week 9 of this series. I will stand for God by kneeling. That's a question. That's a commitment we're going to ask you to make today, that in whatever phase of your life or whatever area of your life it is that God is asking you to stand, will you stand? And specifically, when you read the story of Daniel in this passage, he stands for God by kneeling, and that'll make sense as we go on here. Daniel chapter 6 kicks off basically lifting up Daniel, that he is a man who's highly favored of God. He's a man who is known as a faithful man. He's known as a man who could be trusted. In fact, even King Darius trusts Daniel. He's about to raise him to a new level within the government. And yet other people in the government did not appreciate this. They do not like Daniel, and so they are in a roundabout way trying to take down Daniel. With that in mind, let's pick up the story. Verse 6. Here's what it says. It says, then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. Everybody say suck-ups, okay? This is like, you know, a fifth grader with his teacher right here. All the officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction. Here's what that injunction was. That whoever makes petition or prayer to any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. So in other words, O king, we think you ought to make a law that nobody for the next 30 days can pray to anybody but you. No god, no man, only you, O king. And if they do, you can throw them in the lion's den, okay? Verse 8. Now, O king, establish this injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which, again, cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. It's kind of shocking what same people will do if you'll just puff up their ego a little bit, right? It's exactly what happens here. They're just sucking up to the king here. They're lifting up his ego. Oh, king, live forever. Oh, king, you ought to establish an injunction. Nobody can pray to anybody else but you. And this king, again, a weak leader, signs the injunction that anybody who prays except to him will be thrown into the lion's den. All right? Well, how did Daniel respond to this? Verse 10. It says, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. This is one of the most baller moves that you find anywhere in the Old Testament right here, okay? He knows the document has been signed. He knows that it is now the law of the day. And what does he do? He just continues in his pattern of praying 3 times a day to the Lord, okay? I think it's interesting to note, just according to the word of God here, he doesn't seem to go out of his way to be offensive. He just goes about his normal practice. I think it's also interesting that he's not hiding the fact that he's praying. The Bible says that there were open windows, but he's also still doing it in a private manner. He's not trying to pick a fight. But this is also important to note. There was no government restriction upon Daniel that would call him to cease standing for the Lord. And this is an important note for us to think about as a Christian in America, that it seems like more and more and more life is closing in and things are closing in around us. And I believe this will only continue, that you got to make a decision right now. There will not be any government restriction that will ever keep me from honoring the Lord with my life. You got to make that now before those things come into play, because you'll never do it if you don't do it now, okay? He was determined he would stand for God, and how did he stand for God? He kneeled before the Lord. Now, the next couple of verses, these officials, they, again, like a fifth grader, they want to catch him in the act. And so they go to his house, they catch him, and like a fifth grader, they go entitled to the king. Hey, you're never going to believe what Daniel, this exile, did. Remember, king, you signed this injunction. Anybody who does this, they'll be thrown to the lion's den. And this exile, Daniel, has paid no attention to you. He has done exactly what you have said not to do. Well, puts King Darius in a pickle, right? Verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. I think this passage shows us that the king had a soft spot in his heart for Daniel. For whatever reason, God had given him favor in the eyes and in the heart of the king, and the king is distressed now, and he's thinking to himself, man, how can I get out of this? How can I rescue Daniel? I've got to find a way out of this, and to no avail. He's a weak man who doesn't stand up to people, but he just goes right along with it, okay? He is the king. He could have saved Daniel, and yet he was pressured by his other officials to still uphold the ruling. Next couple of verses, he casts Daniel in the lion's den and tells Daniel, so imagine this is like the pit. They cast Daniel in the lion's den, and the king calls out, Daniel, I hope that your God saves you. Comforting words, right? Best of luck down there is essentially what he's saying. And what happens next? Look at verse 19. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. And as he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. Again, there was a soft spot in his heart, a soft spot in his heart. I'm going to avoid that altogether at the third service. You see it in a tone of anguish there. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? Again, he's calling into this pit, hoping that Daniel has somehow lived through the night. Then Daniel responded and said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm. Daniel responds, and it's interesting that as much as a familiar Bible story this is, like for those of you who were raised in church, this is like a top 10 story that you learned with a felt board, right? Of how Daniel was cast in the lion's den. And yet here's something interesting that I think you got to understand. We're really not told that much about what happened in the den of lions. All we know is that God sends an angel, and the angels stop the lions. We're not given any other picture than that. So did the lion, did they cover the pit and it's pitch dark? And Daniel's thinking to himself, okay, is this it? And then a bright light shone and an angel appeared. Did the angel just give like this to the lions? Did he give this to the lion, a karate chop to the lion? We have no idea what he did. And we really have no idea of what happened exactly in the story, other than an angel of God showed up and stopped the mouths of the lions. What an incredible sight that must have been. I've told you this before. I have a hope about heaven. It's not a truth about heaven from the Word of God. I just have a hope about heaven. I'll share this hope with you. I hope that in heaven there is a giant LED screen that God allows us to watch the famous stories of the Bible on rerun, okay, like on repeat here. So I'd like to see creation take place. Anybody else? Be pretty cool. It's a 6-day film. You just sit and watch. You don't have to go to the bathroom in heaven, I don't think. You don't have to eat. I don't know. We'll see. And so you got a six-day film right there. I'd like to see the parting of the Red Sea. Anybody else? That's like a top three for me, probably. How about Elijah taken up in a chariot of fire? That'd be pretty awesome. I think Daniel in the lion's den with maybe, you know, maybe it's that certain camera where you can, it's like night vision because it's dark, but you get to see what exactly happened in the lion's den. How did this play out? What did God exactly do in the lion's den to protect Daniel by sending an angel? Be pretty cool, right? So can you pray with that? Pray about that with me. Just ask the Lord, Lord, can we do that in heaven, all right? Look at verse 23. The Bible continues, then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no kind of harm was found on him. Here's the key phrase, okay? Maybe the key phrase in the entire Bible passage here. Because he had trusted in his God. If you got your Bible in your lap there, I would just underline that. If you got your phone, double tap, highlight it right there, okay? Because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and were cast into the den of lions. They, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Can you just say tragic? Like, it's a horrible end of the story, is it not? All these officials who had accused Daniel and who had tattled to the king, not only does God bring judgment upon them, but upon their children and upon all their wives. And all these families die together in the lion's den. Now, you may be reading this today and you're thinking to yourself and you're wanting me to answer this question, Nick, what's up with that? Did God approve of what the king did right here? Well, I would tell you we're not really told, but I would tell you this, just because it happened doesn't mean that God approved of it, okay? There's no sense in the Bible, in this passage, that God commanded King Darius to punish all these men and their families. But here's what you find in the Bible. You find this time in and time out in the Bible, okay? The Bible gives the whole story as it happened, okay? The Bible gives the tragedy of the story. The Bible tells the whole story. The Bible doesn't polish things. The Bible doesn't look at godly men or godly women and absolve their story when they fell into sin. The Bible just tells it like it is. And I believe this is actually one of the reasons why we can trust the authenticity of the Bible. The Bible just tells the story. And this is a brutal story of an ancient king and an ancient story that he brought judgment upon a group of people that it was just brutal. Everybody get that? Everybody understand that? And in the midst of this, Daniel is unharmed. And the Bible gives us just a little bit of a clue as to why he wasn't harmed. And in some way, there's some connection that I don't know that we can fully articulate in the Bible here. But it says that he was done no harm, no kind of harm was done to him. Why? Because he trusted in the Lord his God. So there's some kind of connection here between the rescue of God and in the trusting of God. You say, well, Nick, play that out. I don't know that I can fully articulate how that works and why that works. Some of this is in the hand and in the mind of God that is way beyond anything that we could understand. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, the Lord put a statement on my heart. I honestly hadn't shared it with anybody. I don't even remember how the Lord put it on my heart. I don't know if it was in my time with the Lord, or I don't know if it was during sermon prep or what. But I wrote a statement down in my prayer list that I knew that God had given me this statement for some time, for something. I didn't know why. I just kind of been sitting there for the last 3 to 4 weeks. And here's what this statement was. And when I reviewed this message, I pulled it out. I prepared this message about a month ago or so. So I pulled this message out this weekend, kind of reviewing it. And I thought, okay, this is what it's for right here. And here's the statement that the Lord put on my heart. This is so true in every one of our lives, at different seasons of our lives. And here's what it is. We choose to trust the Lord. There are times in your life where you got to choose to trust the Lord. You may say, well, Nick, aren't there times when it's easy to trust the Lord? Maybe, every now and then. But when you like really have to trust the Lord, you know what I'm saying? When you like really got to trust the Lord, it's usually never easy to trust the Lord. Sometimes it feels the exact opposite of everything that's within you. And you got to choose to trust the Lord. So I choose to walk by faith and not by sight. I choose to be driven by what I know is truth, not by what I feel. Because can we be honest, and you won't expect the preacher to say this, sometimes you don't feel like trusting God. Anybody else in the room? You just don't want to trust God. You don't feel like trusting God. You feel like focusing on everything else but trusting in the Lord. That's why sometimes you just got to tell yourself, we will choose to trust the Lord. How great would it be if that statement became common in our church body? Like our church family, we choose to trust the Lord. Like, what would it be like if people in our church began to tell what's going on in their life and they said, but we choose to trust the Lord? Like, I just got diagnosed with cancer, but we as a family, we choose to trust the Lord. Or I just lost my job, but right now we are choosing to trust the Lord. How great would it be, parents and grandparents, if the dominant thing that your children grew up with was that statement? In this family, in this house, we choose to trust the Lord. I wonder how many of you God has brought to church for this and this only today. That you're at the place that I'm describing, where you're walking through something that is beyond your own capability, you're walking beyond something, certainly beyond your comfort. And God brought you to church today just to utter this statement, right now, we choose to trust the Lord. And so, Nick, will that make me feel better? I don't know. I don't think it's really about feelings. But it is about faith, and there's something about letting your words drive your faith. Like guide your heart, don't let your heart guide you. If anybody's ever told you in your life, man, just follow your heart. It's the worst advice you've ever been given. Okay? Let your faith drive your heart. Let your words drive your faith. And right here is a great example from the life of Daniel. We choose to trust the Lord. In this house, in this family, in my personal Christian walk, I choose to trust the Lord. Make sense, everybody? What a great example we have here from the life of Daniel. A few weeks ago, we taught you this principle that being at a place of surrender to the plan of God in your life, it's the safest place you'll ever be in your life. Remember that from several weeks ago? That being at a place where you say, Lord, whatever it is you want to do in my life, I just surrender to the plan of God. Safest place you'll ever be in your life. But if you think about it this way, and you put it in the context of Daniel chapter 6, let me say the same thing in a different way. A place of trust is the safest place you can be in your Christian life. A place of trust before the Lord. Lord, whatever it is right now that you're doing, I just trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I trust you. I've walked enough with you, Lord, that I know you're watching over me. You got my back. You're directing my steps. And anybody ever have hindsight being 20/20 with the Lord where you look back and say, okay. I've had one of those this week with the Lord. Like, okay, that's why you said no here, so that you could say yes here. And all of us walk through those seasons together, okay? Think about Daniel. He's in the pit in the worst predicament of his life. And yet he chooses to trust the Lord here. And again, there's some connection between the rescue of Daniel and the trust of God. And how that works together, that's one of those things we'll see on the LED screen in heaven, okay? Think about the difference between Daniel and Darius here. Daniel stayed true to his convictions. Darius bowed to the demands of other people. Now, here's the ironic part of that, all right? Darius had all the earthly power that you can imagine. He's the king. He can do anything he wants to do. Daniel has no earthly power compared to the king, and yet he's the one who doesn't bow to the opinions of others, but he stays true to the Lord. Now, how does the story end? Look at the end of the passage. Look at verse 25, okay? It says, then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree. So he's making another decree right now, that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. What does this wicked king say about the Lord? For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Sounds eerily familiar, does it not, to what King Nebuchadnezzar said about the Lord? This is like a theme in the book of Daniel, which is a crazy theme, that wicked kings testify to the greatness of God. Only God can do that, by the way. Remember what King Nebuchadnezzar said about the Lord in Daniel chapter 4? He spoke about the rule of God being one with all authority throughout history, that he speaks and he has power over all people and does all things according to his will. King Darius similarly speaks about the kingdom of God never being destroyed and the dominion and authority of God having no end. Wicked king praising God. Wild, right? If you've ever wondered, man, Nick, how do I know if I'm living a life faithful to God? To use our lingo from a few weeks ago, how do I know if I'm deflecting attention away from myself and putting it on the Lord? Here's one way you know, is that when people leave interactions with you, they will not talk about how great you were, but about how great your God is. That's one way, okay? If people always walk away thinking, man, she is the most amazing person I have ever, he is, I mean, I cannot believe how great he is. There's a disconnect somewhere. By the way, when you leave Cross Church every Sunday, the last thing we want you saying is, man, the bald guy was good today, right? Or Jeff or Ryan, Luke, man, what a great message they gave. Or man, golly, that music, that song that Kristen sang today, oh my word, that's not what we want you leaving with. We want you walking back to your car and you open the door, you sit down and you take a deep breath and said, man, I just met with God. How great the Lord is. That's what we desire for you, okay? Can I just reemphasize one verse and we'll be done. Look at verse 27 again. Can we just wrap up this service by reminding ourselves how great the Lord is? Here's what the Bible says about God. He delivers. He delivers. And he rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. Can we just be reminded again together as we wrap up? We serve a God who delivers. Anybody been delivered before? We serve a God who rescues. Anybody been rescued before? Let me say it to you a different way. Anybody need to be delivered today? Anybody walk into church so wrapped up and entangled in sin, you're like, Nick, I don't know how to get out. I need the deliverance of God. Anybody need rescued today in some way? You may say, Nick, I found myself in a situation I never intended to be in. I don't know what, I don't know which way is up or down, left or right. I don't know how to get out, but I know that I need to be rescued out of this situation. How about this? Anybody need a miracle today? We are a church that believes in miracles. We have a Bible that is all about miracles. Red Sea parting, miracle. Guy gets taken up in a chariot of fire to heaven, miracle. Man thrown in a den of lions and survives all night, miracle. God come in human flesh through a virgin birth, miracle. Man lives a perfect life for 33 years, miracle. Same man gets on a cross and pays for the sins of the world through his death and resurrection, miracle. So I say all that to say this. What you're walking through isn't that big of a deal for the Lord. If he can accomplish salvation for the world through the sacrifice of one man, pretty sure he can handle your situation today. Will you trust the Lord? I'll wrap up with this question. Will you be a Daniel or a Darius? You'd be a Daniel or Darius. Be a man or a woman who stands strong in your place of business. You want to be a teenager or a college student who stands firm amongst your classmates like a Daniel? Or are you going to be a Darius who just kind of says, okay, which way is the wind blowing today? Okay, we'll go that direction. That's a Darius. Bows to the opinions of others. No convictions in their life. Which one do you want to be? All right? Will you stand for the Lord by kneeling today? That's the commitment we're asking you to make. I wonder today how many of you Christians in the room who would say, Nick, I know that I'm saved. Like, that's covered in my life. That's a done deal. But when you talk about making a decision to trust the Lord, that we choose to trust the Lord, that's right where I'm at. That's right where our family's at. I wonder how many of you need to just make that commitment before the Lord. Lord, I'm going to choose to trust today. You say, well, Nick, will that make me feel better? I don't really know. I don't know that it's much about your feelings anyway. But again, let your faith lead your heart, not the other way around. And so some of you need to maybe today just to do some kind of outward step, which I've found is helpful in my own life at times, to do something externally when God is doing something internally. There's something that seals something in your heart. This is why every time we come to church, we close by giving a time for you to respond to the Lord. Why? Because these are important moments. And as soon as you hit the lobby, it's like life hits you smack in the face, right? You got friends that are talking to you. You need a coffee. You need a bathroom break. You're hungry. You know, all these kind of things. So listen, just stay in the room with me. Okay, for the next 5 minutes, and let's deal with the Lord together, okay? So if you need to make a decision to choose to trust the Lord, I'm going to invite you just to come to the altar here in just a moment and get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm walking through this, and I just want to nail it down. I'm choosing to trust the Lord right now. Choosing to trust the Lord. I wonder how many of you this would be beneficial as a parent to bring your kids to the altar or as a grandparent to bring your kids to the altar. As a friend who you came to church with somebody and you know what they're walking through, to bring them alongside of you, say, hey, can I just pray over you? You say, hey, we're going to trust the Lord together right now. Gosh, isn't it helpful to have other people in the fight with you? And we're going to choose to trust the Lord. Some of you are here today and you've never trusted Christ. Maybe you've walked this journey through the book of Daniel with us, and it's very interesting. All the amazing stories here that we find in the book of Daniel, and yet here's the resounding thought that you leave with every single Sunday over the last 8 weeks. I need to give my life to Christ. I need to give my life to Christ. I need to give my life to Christ. And you say, well, Nick, why is that happening in my heart? It's because the Holy Spirit of God is drawing you to salvation. And today needs to be the day where you just surrender to God once and for all. Jesus, I want to trust you with my life. I choose to trust Jesus for salvation. That's really what you're saying today. And some of you may feel nervous, right? And you may think, well, gosh, if I can just get him to stop talking a few minutes and we'll be out of here and I'll be fine. Are you really fine? Like, what are you winning by putting this off another week? If God's calling you, let's do it today, all right? You're in a room surrounded by people who will be pumped beyond belief that you've given your life to Christ. Will you take that stand today? Can we bow our head and close our eyes? All over this room, please, nobody moving, leaving right now. This is the most important thing that we do all morning long, is this final few moments here together. As our staff makes their way, the men and women of our staff, here's what I want to encourage you to do. If you need to be saved today, like you know that's exactly what God is telling you to do, would you come and just grab their hand and just say, hey, I'm the person Nick talked about. I need to give my life to Christ today. And here's what you'll find. In a very private moment between you and that person, they will lead you to faith in Christ today. Answer any question you have. You don't have to come up on stage. You don't have to do anything weird at all. But they will lead you to faith in Christ today. Would you do that? Would you take that step? As soon as we stand today, would you take that step? There are others of you who, again, you'd say, Nick, this is settled in my life, but man, I'm in a battle of trust right now. I'm walking through something, and I need to trust the Lord. And so I need to come to the altar and just get on my face and just say, Lord, I choose to trust you today. I choose to trust. There is something that happens, as we've seen in the life of Daniel, that happens when you choose to trust the Lord. Some of you have been telling the Lord the last 2 or 3 weeks, Lord, I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. Guess what? It's a good time to say it again today. Lord, I trust you. Did you just come to this altar? If you need to do business with God about something, if you need one of our staff to pray with you about something in your life, you come as well. We'd be honored to pray for you. Lord, we do choose to trust you today. Some need to trust you for the very first time. Others need to trust you yet again for you to move in their life. Would you do things beyond ourselves right now? It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
If you have questions about what you have heard or would like more information about your relationship with Jesus, please email us at info@crosschurch.com or visit our website at crosschurch.com. At Cross Church, our mission is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.